John 17, verse number 17. Sanctify them. He's praying about his people. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth. Then he said, thy word is truth. Thy word, the word of God. The word of God is truth. The word of God, say that out loud, it's truth. Of course, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but he's the living word. This is the written word. The word written word is truth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not bring it to pass? It's impossible for God to say something and a person stand in faith on it and God not come through for that. People have thought that happened, but it never has happened. Amen? And if you thought it's happened in your life, then you need to act like me whenever I used to think that way. You need to come look in the mirror and say, your thinking is wrong. Yeah. Your thinking is wrong. Yeah. And we need to just know that God's word is truth. He cannot lie. And so the King James says his word is truth. The word truth, if you look it up, means, and actually some translations will say reality. Thy word is reality. Now you can read it and sometimes see what it says and it doesn't appear in your life to be reality. But that's where faith comes in. I said that's where faith comes in. Amen. There's your opportunity to believe the word rather than believe what you feel or see or your experience. All your life, you can see something in the word that has not been so all your life, but that doesn't mean it's not reality. Doesn't mean it's not reality. So go over to another passage here in Jonah, the book of Jonah. I don't know when was the last time you were in the book of Jonah, but we're going to go here tonight. The book of Jonah, praise the Lord. Go past Daniel, past Hosea, I think. Where is Jonah? Go past Daniel, past Hosea, past Joel, past Amos, past, and then you get Obadiah, and then you get to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 8. Now, you know the story. He's asked by God to go preach to Nineveh and say, there's judgment coming, repent. And he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. And he went the other direction and caught a boat to go the wrong direction. You remember the storm that came up and all the people in the ship called on the name of their God and all this stuff, nothing changed. And because they were going to die out there. And so finally Jonah said, it's me. I'm in rebellion to God. You remember. And so they said, what do we do? And he said, throw me overboard, dear Lord. And you remember the fish swallowed him. God had the fish spit him up on the land and said, okay, I'm giving you a second chance. Tell your neighbor God's a God of second chances. Yes, he is. It's not over until you die. I mean, you can get back on track. Hallelujah. But Jonah, after the experience, and I guess cleaning himself up a little bit, Jonah said, this is chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, or their own mercy. Amen. Well, let's put that together with the book of John, John 17, thy word is truth, or reality. Your word is reality. And then Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He's talking about, in his experience, personally, the way he was applying it to himself was, he observed the lying vanity of the flesh that said, no, you really don't want to go to Nineveh and preach. Because, God will, they'll repent and God will forgive them, and then the judgment won't come and you'll look like a false prophet. I mean, there's a lot more behind this than just at face value. And Jonah didn't want to do it. His flesh didn't want to do it. And there's a lot of people today, God calls them to do something, and they don't want to do it. Just don't want to do it. Just in rebellion. I mean, they dress up nice, but they're in rebellion. So, but the lying vanity was the lie his flesh told him. They said, you really don't want to do what God said. You really don't want to obey God. That was the lying vanity in his case. But how many of you know really what he's talking about is what the flesh is saying over what God said? When you really boil it down to the bottom of it, God had said go to Nineveh, and his flesh didn't want to do that. And he paid attention. Observe here means to regard or pay more attention to the lie of what his flesh said, what his flesh didn't want to do, paying more attention to that than what God said do. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. How many of you know it doesn't turn out well in disobedience? There's mercy in a place called walking with God in obedience, but in disobedience, that's not a place of just ongoing forever and ever mercy. So he mentions some things that the flesh says sometimes and says they're lying vanities. Amen. Lying vanities. Lying. Your flesh will lie to you. Your flesh will say, no, that's not true. That can't be so. God said that, but that can't be so. I know my experience. I know the family I grew up in. You can read the Bible and it says Jesus was made poor that you might be made rich. No, that's not our family. No, we got poverty back all the way to Adam. Nobody's ever been rich in my family. So, but you look in the Bible and Jesus was made poor that you might be rich. You got to decide which one you're going to call reality. You got to decide what you're going to call reality. Which reality are you going to follow? You know, there's a minister friend of mine, actually out in camp meeting. What's this? Just a couple weeks ago in January in camp meeting in California that preached, Pastor Edwin Anderson, preached on the flesh. It has a false reality like a virtual reality game. I don't know if anybody watched that. Oh, my goodness. Things started going off on the inside of me. So I'm going to give him credit this time. Send him the CD to make sure he heard me give him credit. That's the last time I'm giving him credit. And I'm going to expand on what he was talking about tonight. And you might say, well, you took it much further than he took it. Yeah, it's easy to stand tall when you're standing on somebody else's shoulders. You know, it's kind of... But we're just going to dig around in this a little bit. And I'll start out with the illustration he gave. You know, anybody know what virtual reality is, a virtual reality game? It's basically a computer simulation. You know, I'll just give you some of the definitions. I just looked them up. I know what it is, but I like to hear what the definitions they give are. A virtual reality game, something that is simulated. It's artificial. It's an artificial environment. It's not physically so. It doesn't physically exist as such, but it's made by software to appear to be so by creating an artificial sensory feedback environment. It is designed to be completely immersive using sound and vision goggles. You know, these vision goggles sometimes come to the side. You're seeing it different ways. And so it's completely immersive using sound and vision goggles. And it's control, vision goggles, these things are controlled by software. It's presented to the user in such a way that the user suspends belief and accepts it as a real environment. I'm just reading their definition of what virtual reality is. It's presented in such a way, see, the headphones are put on your ears. I guess it's noise canceling so you can't hear the room or what people are doing and they're laughing at you. But but then you got these goggles on and it's totally immersive. And then a picture starts coming on the screen. Sometimes it's like a real photo, like a real video, but sometimes it's like simulated, like an artificial room or something. And by the noise being blocked out and the sounds being pumped in over the computer, when something in the room falls, you hear it fall. You know, when you take a step, the computer moves and you move forward in the screen. You know, if you go over to the corner over there and sit down on a chair, which you're probably going to sit on the floor because you're in the living room, you know. you know, the thing moves and the chair appears and you turn and the chair goes behind you. It's all simulated by a computer, but it's completely immersive, listen, and it's interactive. Okay? You following me? It's designed to be, it's to completely immerse you in this simulated environment that is not physically so. Y'all still there? And so it's presented to the user in such a way that it says here they suspend belief and accept it as a real environment. It says, in addition, the virtual environment can be interactive with by equipment that has sensors in it, such as the helmet. You know, that helmet, it has sensors in it, and it can sense the movement. Or if you have these gloves on, have sensors on, that when you move your hand, it senses that, and the computer shows you, you know. And so it's all interactive, and it becomes like you get caught up in it, and it becomes like it's very real. The term virtual, I looked this up, it means being something in essence or effect, though not actually or in fact. And they say, I've never done it. I think maybe I ought to try it sometime. But they say you get all the symptoms, like if you, or the sensations of the movements. In other words, if you're on a roller coaster. This is a simulation. You're on a roller coaster. Well, I mean, your eyes and your ears and everything are totally immersed in this. And I mean, when you move your head, everything looks like it's moving. It looks like you look literally up to the sky, and you know, you look down, and there's your feet. And I mean, it's immersive, and you get caught up in that. And they say you actually get all the symptoms of motion sickness, like if you're on a roller coaster or something. Hey. You can lose your equilibrium, get an upset stomach, and all of that. And you're just in your living room. You got these goggles on. You ever seen these videos on YouTube? They put it on grandma and they watch her, you know. It's just totally mean, but they're all standing there laughing because grandma's in the living room going, whoa, you know, and people are doing funny things. They're reacting to this artificial environment. Amen. Well, that's just laying the groundwork for a spiritual, biblical truth that basically that the flesh will give you an alternative reality about things sometimes that is completely immersive. And the devil, as the god of this world, is the master of holding people in an alternative reality, completely immerse them in it, and when he's completely immersed in it, the Bible calls it being in the flesh. Amen. And Satan wants you to be in your mind and your heart to be in an alternate reality. It's only when somebody walks by faith that he walks free from this artificial experience and comes out into the realities of God's Word. Now, I'm not saying that physical things don't have a reality. I've got to rightly divide this so that you don't get confused. But Romans 4:17 says that, talking about Abraham's faith there, it says that faith calls things that be not as though they are. Calls things that be not as though they are. Notice what it didn't say. Cause things that be as though they're not. In other words, as though they're not reality. That's not faith. That's called denying reality. But that is a physical reality. Amen. And we don't deny natural facts, but we do, when the Word of God contradicts them, we do defy them. Amen. We deny what they're telling us, the message that they're communicating to us when that message is against God's Word. Amen. I'm talking about an artificial message that the flesh will communicate to you through natural facts. Amen. In other words, through experiences you've had in the flesh, the devil will create a simulated picture. Let me give you an example. Let's say that your income for the last 20 years has been real low. And what the devil will say to you through that is, you're poor. I mean, if he's Southern, he'll say, you poor. That means you're poor. Some of you just got it. I don't know. Yo, Poe. Poe boy. You ever been down to a Southern fried place and they got a poor man's steak? Poe man's steak? P.O. Poe man? That's just the way they talk down south. But the devil will tell you, because of your natural experience, he says, you're poor.
Right.
Y'all still with me? And in your heart and your mind, he'll immerse you in a reality of the flesh that contradicts God's word. And he'll say, you're poor. You'll never have the kind of house you really want, blah, 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 blah. He'll use what you see and what your experience has been in the physical world to create a virtual reality inside of your heart and your mind. Amen. Now, some people, I'm going to have to spend some time on this because some people, you know, they'll make the statement, well, you're just not living in reality. Tell your neighbor, now we're going to go ahead and shuck the corn. Amen. You mean because I'm not like that guy in the virtual reality game in the living room, you mean... You know, he's just, there's just nothing but a living room floor there. And he's got these goggles on, and he's going acting crazy and falling down and everything.
Right.
You mean because I'm not acting like him?
Uh-oh.
Yep. Listen, at every little thing the devil throws at me that communicates a message against God's word. Amen. Not losing my balance at everything I see. In the realm of the flesh, in the realm of the natural, and wavering and stumbling and acting like that guy in the virtual reality game. You mean because I'm not acting like that, I'm not living in reality. What you got to do is choose which realm you call reality.
Amen.
When things get tight financially here at the church, just because I don't get sad and cry, you say, I'm not living in reality, but the facts are I'm living in a reality that is not simulated. It is reality because God's word is reality. And I have a supply whenever it doesn't look like it. You got to decide which reality you're going to call real. Amen. 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 You're just going to have to decide. I have decided, God said, he supplies all my need. I've decided that's reality. And when the devil throws something at me that contradicts that, I'm not going to be lured into his virtual reality created by what is seen and call that reality and act as if it's true. That's not true. That's not true. Amen. And by my faith, I crash his simulation. I just crash it. Praise the Lord. Now y'all starting to get in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just break his software simulator. I'm breaking out of these sensory inputs that are making me react and act like I'm poor and act like I don't have my needs met, act like I'm sick and act like I'm bound and act like, no, I'm breaking the simulation. Now, we've got to realize we're not talking necessarily about denying what we see. We're denying the message that it's sending to us. You got to understand the way I'm saying this. Praise the Lord. Here's another example of this. We're going to look at a lot of scripture examples of this. You'll understand it better. Go to Romans 6. Romans chapter number 6. And we're just getting started. Romans chapter 6 says in verse number 6 through 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. So, these two verses are telling you, you are now free from sin. Amen. Say the sin nature has been destroyed, rendered powerless. Amen. So that sin won't have dominion over us anymore. Amen. It's been rendered powerless. That's the way other translations say it, that we should no longer serve sin. Now go over to verse 17 here in chapter 6, verse 17 and in verse 18. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Say were. He's talking about all of us right now. We were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, talking about receiving Christ, being then made free from sin. Then. When? Then. Whenever you obeyed the gospel, got saved, what he's talking about. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Is that true? Have you been made free from sin? You are now free from sin. Isn't that right? Go to verse number 22. But now being made free from sin. When? Being now made free from sin and becoming the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end of everlasting life. So here's all these verses that say we are made free from sin. That's right now. We as believers are free from sin.
Amen.
Well, you can look at yourself sometimes and say, I'm not. I'm bound. I keep falling back into this same thing. But the Bible says you are free from sin. You're free from sin. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now, go back to verse number 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. You can look at your experience sometimes and say, this thing has dominion over me. I keep falling over and over and over and over and over again. But this verse says, sin does not have dominion over you.
Amen.
We got to decide which one's reality. Notice what it says in verse number 11, because this is the key. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon. In other words, that's an accounting term. It means put it to your account. In other words, it won't always feel like it, but you need to reckon yourself. That means consider yourself free from sin. Even whenever it doesn't look like you are free from sin, because you keep falling into that same old offense. You keep falling into that same old carnality. That same old flying off the handle. That same old fleshy stuff. That you're not free from sin. But the Bible says reckon. Consider yourself free from sin. Why? Why would you reckon yourself free from sin? Because that's reality. I said, because that's reality. Because you've been freed from sin. That's why you reckon yourself free from sin, because that's the truth. That's the truth. Somebody said, well, I can't tell a lie. How can you tell a lie when you're telling the truth? See, many people haven't even begun to walk by faith yet. They say, I'm bound, pray for me, when the Bible says they're free. Brother Hagin one time in a healing line, he said, he's getting ready to lay hands on the sick. He said, how many up here know you're healed? Oh, he said, oh, that's right, you don't, because you came in the healing line. See, he's talking about them coming down out of spiritual reality in order to receive on a lower level. I said, most people haven't even begun to walk by faith yet. They're caught up in a reality that is simulated because of what the symptoms in the flesh is saying. Oh, but see, when a carnal Christian, carnal Christians aren't looking at Romans 6. Carnal Christians, somebody said, you mean carnal people like watching pornography? No. Yeah, that's carnal. But when I say carnal, I mean they're believing they're bound. That's carnal. That's carnal. Romans 8 says, to be carnally minded is death. It says, to be carnally minded is to mind the things of the flesh. Somebody said, well, somebody watching pornography or having sex outside of marriage, that's carnal. Well, sure it is. But so is, it's just as carnal to say I'm bound.
Right. Come on now. Come on.
That's just as carnal. Amen. Because you're not walking by faith. You're walking by the sight of the carnal flesh. What seems true to the carnal mind. Well, we're going ahead and shucking the corn tonight. Amen. Amen. So a carnal Christian, though, isn't looking at Romans 6. He's looking at his flesh and the impulses of his flesh rather than this right here. And he's saying, I'm bound. Here's something you need to always do. I'm free from this. I'm free from this. I don't have to do this. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I'm crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. And therefore, since I'm dead, I'm free from sin.
Yes, sir.
The devil says, you are not. You say, shut up. And you pull the plug on his simulation. I'm not reacting that way anymore. I'm not talking that way anymore because that's not reality. The reality is I'm redeemed, praise God. Greater is he that's in me than this flesh right here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. But if you're not convinced that this right here in Romans 6 is true, you'll side with the flesh. I said you'll side with the flesh. Amen. The impulses of your flesh. You should be constantly counting yourself dead to sin. Constantly. Because this alternative reality is very real, and it'll keep saying, no, you're not, no, you're not. And you keep saying, no, no, here's reality. Yes, I am. Amen. The flesh has a reality. I said the flesh has a reality. It's looking at the wrong reality. It seems real, but it's not reality. Have you ever heard anybody make that statement? I've made that statement probably 15 times, 20 times in the last couple of years. It can seem very real, but that doesn't make it reality. It seemed very real to the entire Israeli army when Goliath said, come send a man and we'll fight. And it seemed very real. There's no way to take that guy. They all stood back in the trenches with a simulated reality that a man with a covenant with God could not take a giant like him. And that's all they saw, giant, 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 giant. David came on the scene and said, that's a simulation. He didn't mean that he wasn't a big guy, but he never called him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't mean he wasn't big. He just simply said, when I say simulation, I meant he said, that's a false reality that nobody can take him just because of his size. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Tell your neighbor, amen.
Amen.
David saw Goliath and compared to the whole Israeli army, he saw him different than the Israeli army. But the fact was, that David defeated Goliath, and that was proof that all Goliath's bluster was hollow and empty. Amen. In other words, David got a stone by the power of God, shoot, and the simulation went pow, it died. Now everybody's like, oh, we can take him now, we can take him now. See, they saw reality. They saw reality. The entire Israeli army was held in the flesh by the voice of a false reality. It took a man of faith to demonstrate the reality of that fact, that what they were believing was false. It took a man of faith to demonstrate that what they were believing was false. It took a man of faith to demonstrate that to them. Are you out there? Amen. Faith will break the devil's simulator. It'll break you out of the controls of all his sensory inputs and make you free. You're not controlled by his yakety yak yak and the image he's giving your mind, and that's what he's trying to put on the inside of you and getting you to react to it, and it's not even reality, and here you are doing strange stuff. Here you are acting broke, and that's not reality. I'm about to go ahead and shuck the corn. I'm feeling mean on the devil. Amen. But if you're convinced it's true, you won't act on the reality of God's word. Now, see, remember we were back there in Romans 6. This is that Romans 6 talks about reckon yourself dead to sin. This will work when it comes to being free from sin, but it will also work when it comes to being free from sickness, poverty, bondage to fear, disobedience to the plan of God, or anything else that Satan tries to get you into a false reality about. It's true. I said it's true. You have to stop looking at things that are seen. Amen. He'll create scenes, he'll create feelings, and try to convince you of a reality that is not based on truth. It's a virtual reality, something simulated. Amen. Again, I'm not talking about what you actually physically see. I'm not saying it's a simulation. I'm saying that the message that it communicates. Amen. That's not reality. You can see you've never had enough money really to really succeed financially, and therefore the message is that you're poor. Come on. What you see is not false. Right. That's a natural fact. That's just it's a lower kind of a reality, but it's just a natural reality. But you remember, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Things that are seen are temporal. In other words, they can change. In other words, they're false. They're simulations. They can be changed just like that. But that which is not, but we look at that which is not seen, which is eternal. Hallelujah. 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 They may be natural facts, but there's a difference between facts and truth. Big difference. Through much artificial sensory input, the devil can communicate something very real to you, like you will never have children. You will never have children. And it seems so real. Seems so real. So impossible to have children. There's people here believing God for children. It can seem like it just seem impossible. But ask Matt and Katie if that's reality. Ask some others here if that's reality. Hallelujah. It can seem so real that debt is just insurmountable. That you'll never have the business you really want. It can seem so real there's no way to really live full of supply or live healthy or walk again or any of the things the devil tries to hold people's minds in bondage to. Amen. Go to Psalm 23, verse number 4. We'll look at some more references along this, or that bring out this truth. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Hallelujah. We've got to start counting the word as true. Counting the word as true. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. That's legal. You can do that. Yeah, I got to keep saying it. I'll say it again. I don't mean that the natural things you see are not reality. I mean the message they communicate. Amen. So, in Psalm 23, look at verse number 4. It says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice that term. The psalmist David called this earth walk down here the walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice he didn't say the valley of death. He said the valley of the shadow of death. What he's talking about is the curse all around us. This earth walk, there's the curse down here, you know. And he said it will cast shadows on your walk with God and make things look dark. Amen. Now, let me ask you about a shadow. Does a shadow have any substance to it? No substance to it at all. All it is a lack of light. That's literally what a shadow is. Because, you know, let's say you're walking down a street or something, you walk past the building, the sun's over there, and you're walking past, there's a building comes between you and the building. Well, there's a shadow here. All of a sudden, it's not as light as it was. All it is the absence of light. That's all a shadow is. Think about it. There's no substance to it. It creates an appearance of a substance, but it's an artificial appearance. I'll give you an example. I was preaching on faith one time in a church, and a man came up to me in the service, and he said, "I had something happen to me that illustrates." I was preaching on this verse, illustrates what you were talking about. He said, "I drive dump trucks." You've heard me tell this story. He said, "I drive dump trucks." He said, "I get up real early in the morning to get out to the job site." And he said, "I had to get up one the other morning, and I was I go to pick up the truck, and I'm driving to the job site, and it's very early in the morning. You know, in the morning, real early in the morning, the sun's coming up, but there's a lot of long shadows." And so he said, he's just kind of driving, sort of starting his day out, worshiping the Lord and so forth and so on. And he said, he's, you know, not really not paying attention, but, you know, not fully engaged in looking at every little thing. And he said, he's driving, and all of a sudden, he got to the place on the road where there was some large object right in front of him, and he real quick, you know, swerved to get out of the way. And as he swerved and looked at what it was, he realized, "I just dodged the shadow of a large sign along the road." Yeah. Did you get it? In other words, he's not dodging something that had any substance. He's dodging a shadow. And that's what the devil has a lot of Christians doing. He's simulating things, and they're dodging, but all it is shadows. Shadows have no substance to them. They just make things look bad when they're not really bad. It makes things look like they're there when they're not really there. Like that dump truck driver. Listen, if Jesus was made poor that you might be rich, then you're rich. Even when things make it look like you're not. Over here, they're struggling. Over here, people are struggling. And you walk past them, and there's a lot of shadows. Like, oh. No substance. You are redeemed from the curse of poverty, even when the devil says you're bound by poverty. Amen. Hallelujah. That's reality. Don't let the devil get you to acting as if the shadow is reality. Because your faith in his shadow will cause you to act in such a way where you never will have anything. And your faith in his shadow will actually create a reality. Amen. What you should do is meditate on the word until the light of the word strikes your spirit in such a way that it dispels all the devil's shadows. And you see yourself the way God sees you. When they become more real, the prosperity scriptures become more real to you than what the devil is saying, then the evidence of God's word shows you that what is reality, then your faith will give substance to prosperity. It'll start producing it. But see, a lot of people are making confessions, but they have no reality in their spirit of what they're saying. Keep saying it until it dawns on you. That's the substance of faith. Light of God's word is the substance of faith. Do you get that? People are saying things with no substance. Well, don't go through life shadow dodging, reacting to appearances that have substance, that have no substance to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, "I'm a believer, and I've been redeemed from the curse. Curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Right now, I'm redeemed from poverty as part of that curse." Believe the redemptive word more than what you see, rather than the false message, that virtual reality of the flesh that says, "Well, I don't have anything. I'm broke." God's asking some of us tonight, is what you see more true than what I say? Is what you see more true than what I say? Is what you see more true than what I say? He's trying to break you out of the devil's simulation, getting you to believe and acting as if something is true when it's just a simulation. Amen. Verse 5 of Psalm 23 is reality. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's reality right there. That right in the presence of lack, you have a supply. Whoa, go ahead and shout, somebody. Hold the devil in that reality. Hold it. That's what faith is. It's holding the devil in the reality you have received from God's word. Hold him in that. Don't let him hold you in what he says and the thoughts of what he says. You hold him in the reality of God's word. I don't know why some of you are looking at me so funny. You've got to live this outside of service, not just whenever it's being preached. Live it and fight the good fight of faith. And say, no, that's not reality. This is the word of God and this is true. I have a supply. I'm rich. I'm rich. You got to fight. You can't be lazy about this. You have to fight. If this is not a big issue when it comes to faith, why does the devil fight so hard to keep people in these wrong imaginations and these things that are not reality? Say amen. Hold the devil in this reality of God's word. Don't let him hold you in a reality of the flesh by you keeping to look at it. See, the more you look at it, he's holding you in that reality. Here's another example in the Bible. And I won't go there, but you'll remember it. Numbers 13, 33. The Bible tells us that the spies came back from spying out the land, you remember? And they gave, 10 of them gave an evil report. And part of the evil report that the 10 gave said, well, there's giants in the land and walled cities, and we were as grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in our sight. Remember that? What the devil had done, he was showing them a vision of defeat. Now, let me tell you why. They said that we were as grasshoppers in their sight. Now, they're spies. Remember that. They're spies. They're not going in with a television crew saying, now, we're from Israel. We're about to attack you. We would like to know how you see us compared to you. But they came back with a report of how that they the nation saw Israel. They said, we were in their sight as grasshoppers. In other words, small compared to them. Isn't that right? They were not speaking out of what they actually heard them say in there because they weren't interviewing them. They're hiding. They're incognito. Because you get caught as a spy, they'll capture you, you know. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching pretty good. So they were letting the devil tell them how little they were compared to them. Isn't that right? They were speaking the false reality. How many of you know, when the greater one lives on the inside of you, it doesn't matter how big they are in the flesh, the greater one lives on the inside of us. And you got to speak, the greater one lives in me. But they were speaking the image that the enemy gave them. I'm talking about Satan gave them. And that inner image was a false image because the next generation went in and wiped them out. But that generation had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years in the defeat of a false reality. There's no substance to that. They had God on their side. Amen. How many things are we allowing Satan to give us, to hold us in limitations because we're believing things that have no substance to them? Someone said one time that fear is, the acronym F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appearing real.
That's right.
And it looks real sometimes. It can look so real. But somebody said one time here at church, you ever remember what he said? It can look real, but not be reality. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, don't get so angry at Satan whenever you discover some area that this has happened to you. Because in all reality, we have cooperated with it. We have allowed him to deceive us. Well, how did I do that? Your face and nose weren't in this book that exposed the simulation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Page 7. That's like Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey said that. Hallelujah. Listen, things like fear, condemnation, your own emotions, getting all worked up emotionally, they will paint a picture of a false reality. You ever gotten over emotional upheavals of some kind where you got all worked up about something and when you got over it, you're like, why was I all worked up about that? That's no big deal. You ever got that? But it was big to you at the time. Pray. You know that happened. That used to happen here at church so much. I got so tired of drama. Pray. Okay, we will pray. I always slow it down and calm it down on purpose. Because the drama is just that faith doesn't like drama. You're living in a simulation here. He's under your feet.
Yes, he is.
Amen. You got to live in that realm. You got to live in that reality. Live in that faith. Amen. And these realities sometimes carry an influence. You can hear the sound and the enemy's voice. You can and the enemy will send things along to reaffirm that it's reality, and people to say. Just ask whenever they say it, which realm is reality to them? Well, some of you don't know for sure if you're liking this sermon tonight. Eve, Satan did the same thing with Eve. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that Satan corrupted her mind with a lie. Corrupted her mind. In other words, he presented a false reality. Here's what the false reality was. He made her, it seemed so real to her when he said it too. He said to her, no, God didn't say not to eat of the fruit of the tree because, what Satan said was, he said that because he knows as soon as you do, you'll be like him. You'll be like God. You'll know everything and you know all that. And whenever Satan said that, it seemed like reality to Eve. Says in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that he corrupted her mind, lest your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, lest as Satan deceived Eve. You remember? Lest as Satan deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, in other words, her mind was corrupted, and Satan, and he's trying to do it to everybody else. He's trying to corrupt your mind with a simulation, telling you a lie. And he said, that's how he did it to Eve. And what happened was he said to Eve, you know, well, you're not going to die like God said. You're going to actually be like him. God's trying to keep you from being like him, you know, knowing everything like he knows. It came so real. It seemed so real. Seemed like reality. Seemed like the truth to Eve at the time. But it was a lie. These things come with an influence. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan tries to distort the perception of so many things. He wants to hold folks, even God's people, in the realities of the flesh. As a pastor, I've learned there's some people that if they get a little too distant, they start getting into a false reality. If you can keep them close, you can hold them close enough to your faith to keep them thinking right from starting to be affected by the simulation of the devil. I could tell you stories. See, I don't tell a lot of stories because, you know, I'm trying not to talk about people. But they're convinced. I know somebody convinced that there's some people here trying to kill her. Convinced. And whoosh, left the church. And these are loving people. Amen. It wouldn't hurt. I mean, one of them I'm thinking of probably cry when they swat a fly, you know. But it was so real to this lady. So real. It seemed like reality. Simulation. I mean, you can almost laugh at somebody standing in the living room going like this and there's nothing attacking them. But it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. What we're talking about here is walking in the spirit rather than in the flesh. There is a communication that comes from God directly from his spirit to your spirit. Amen. Bypasses flesh and blood communication. Jesus told Peter about it. Flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You remember that? And so that's the kind of communication that you need to call reality.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Satan tries to distort these things. So to walk by faith, you got to develop the skill of just holding the devil in the realities of God's word and what you saw in the spirit through the word. Get real good at it. Practice it. Practice it. Practice not going like this. Yeah. You know, you ever played the game whenever, because I remember playing it a couple of times. I forget what we called it. But you just give people licks and see how long they would, who would do it, who could take it without flinching? Yeah, you just slap them, punch them, do it, and who could take it without flinching? You know, smack them in the gut, they don't even flinch. Right? That's the way you need to be with the devil. He throws something at you and you just stare at him. No, I know the truth.
Yeah.
At least you're getting it tonight. Walking by faith. Developing the skill of holding the devil in the realities of what you saw in the Word of God. Amen. Get real good at it. Practice it. When he throws stuff at you, you just look at him and say, it's written. Do you know what you can do? I was told by the people that have done this. If you start getting motion sickness when you're watching a virtual reality program or simulation, if you're on a roller coaster or something, you start getting motion sickness, they said, all you got to do is close your eyes. And you'll lose all the symptoms of motion sickness and all of that. Right? Well, do that with the devil. Close your eyes to what he's saying and open your eyes to the reality of God's word. And all the symptoms just creep like that. They go away. You know why people have fear? It's because they're looking at the wrong thing. You got to resist his attempts to hold you in that alternate reality. Listen, when you know what you're doing, the devil will flee. Yeah, amen. If you know what you're doing, a friend, put this game on you and they're trying to make you motion sick and act weird in the living room so they can take videos and laugh at you and put you on Facebook and all of that. Friends. And if you don't want it to work, you just close your eyes and you keep reminding yourself, I'm standing in the living room. I'm standing in the living room. Right? That's reality. You are standing in the living room. Well, that's what you do with God's word. I'm standing on it is written. I'm standing on it is written. I'm not looking at things that are seen. I'm looking at the word of God. It is written. And nobody will get a funny video of you on Facebook. I'm having a good time. Praise the Lord. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil's a liar. And a lot of people's problems are imaginary problems. When we went across the English Channel on D-Day, World War II, to attack the Germans, the Allies set up simulated airfields full of dummy airplanes, blow-up airplanes, to make it look like we're coming across the English Channel right here, because here's where the base is, here's where we're putting our airplanes, and they'd fly over, the Germans would fly over, look down, their spies are looking for where we're coming. And so it looked like we were coming from another way, but we didn't. That was just fake. Isn't that right? They created an artificial airfield. It wasn't reality. Just blow up airplanes. Amen? And that's partly why we won. Because we faked them out. I saw a documentary one time. I'm just using illustrations to help you get it. I saw a documentary one time of a, I like animals and all that. And they were showing there's a fish down in the bottom of the ocean that, that long, maybe only that wide, not that big around. And a predator fish would come along and try to attack him, and he would, I guess it's a chemical reaction or something, he'd blow himself up. He'd be like four times bigger than he really is. And so the predator fish would leave. He couldn't get him in his mouth, so he'd leave. They called it the blowfish. The blowfish. Well, I've discovered the devil is a blowfish. He acts big and bad, but it's a simulation. Amen. The reality is Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated him at Calvary, and he's a little zero. You remember what it says in the book of Revelation at the end? The nations are going to say, is this he that deceived the nations? This little nothingness? This little piece of nothing? That's your Bible. People of faith see that now because they have pulled the plug on his simulation. They have pulled the plug with the Word of God. They've taken the Word and poked a hole in the blowfish, and he went, phew, and then he's nothing. Jesus defeated him, and you can see him for who he really is when you get the Word of God. Hallelujah. Listen, he must defend his bluff of strength and victory over you again and again and again, but you share in Christ's victory over him at Calvary. As a Christian, you're equipped with the Word of God that gives you the knowledge and the truth of Satan's bluff. Don't fall for it anymore. You got the Word that tells you who he really is. He's a big zero. The Bible says he brought him to naught. That's a nice way of saying zero. You're a zero to me. You're nothing. You're defeated. You're spoiled. Jesus poked a hole in you, blowfish. Amen. And your knowledge, what you know, amen. When you know he's already defeated, what that does is it undermines all his structure of lies. All his bluff. And he bluffs. How many of you know when you're walking by faith, he bluffs and bluffs and bluffs and bluffs, and he bluffs and bluffs all the way to the end. What's he trying to do? Get you to give up your faith? Amen. Hoping you give in and believe that the Word of God doesn't work for you and believe that, no, it's not true. You didn't receive. And he bluffs and bluffs and bluffs. And then it comes to pass and you realize that was all a bluff. If I would have believed all that time, I'd have been defeated. Let's go to Hebrews and let's wrap this up. We got to wrap this up. Hebrews 11:3. I got to show you the last thing here the Lord showed me. This is actually the best part. I'm glad you're here. Glad you stayed till the end. Hebrews 11 says in verse number 3, though through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Framed. We use that word framed in a number of ways. Frame a picture. We might say, frame a house. So forth. But this is the one I got a hold of the other day. Frames what happen whenever someone plants or produces false evidence against an innocent person, so they appear guilty. You'll hear prisoners sometimes say, I got framed. Well, there's maybe some cases where somebody did. You understand? We got to be real careful about this. But many times, I'm not saying all the time, but many times it's just someone failing to take the responsibility for their own actions. You realize that's not everybody. I want to make sure we understand that. But the thing that I want you to see about this is that in all reality, he said here, because people sometimes say, I don't know why I'm always behind financially. I could tell you why. This verse tells you why. You got framed. You got framed. Someone produced false evidence and you accepted it. The devil planted false evidence against God's word before your eyes and you bought it as if it was true and started saying it and put yourself right in the jailhouse of lack. You got framed. I never saw that before. The truth is, everybody in this world has been framed. Satan has framed a plan for you. God has framed a plan for you. And the way they present the frame is they present evidence. Whichever one you take and start saying, then you framed your world right there. The devil's evidence is false evidence. God's evidence is truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, whenever you say something, you're framing your world. Amen. It's true positively or negatively. Hallelujah. But really, what the devil says and what God says as far as, framing a plan for your life doesn't really matter until you choose either one of those evidences by saying something. Amen. You have to, choose which frame you're going to accept. Am I going to let the devil frame me, or am I going to let God's word frame me? God has framed a plan for all of our lives. It's a good plan. When I say frame, when it comes to God, I'm not talking about, setting up with false evidence. I'm talking about true evidence that will make our lives in the frame that he has planned for our lives to be, which is a good life. Amen. So everybody's been framed. Everybody's been framed. We just got to choose which frame we're going to be framed by. Hallelujah. So it doesn't really matter what God has said or the devil has said as far as your life and experience until you start accepting the evidence that they presented and start saying it. Then you just framed your world. You got framed. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie and I have had the best year we've ever had, 2018. We got framed. God said some things and we said, that's true. That's the way. I accept that evidence in the face of apparent contradictions. I accept that evidence and I say, our God supplies all our need according to his word. We got framed. You just have to decide which one you're going to allow to frame your world. I choose God's word. How about you? Say, I'm on God's side. Hallelujah. So in a real sense, someone else didn't frame your world. You framed your world by the evidence you accepted and what you said based on the evidence that you chose to accept. Well, I've gone long enough tonight. Did you get anything out of that?
Yes,
take God's word as truth. It's reality. It's reality. Well, it doesn't seem real to me. Of course not, whenever you talk like that. Start saying it. Start saying it. But whenever I say it, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't matter. Start saying it anyway. Because you believe it. You accept it as reality. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I preach myself happy tonight. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Walk in this and it'll overcome every frame of where the devil's trying to frame you, trying to, he's got a plan for your life. He's trying to put you in this limited thing here. And whenever you accept the reality of God's word, you just break his frame.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've heard me say before, 3x5 talking will never create a 16x20 world. If you want a bigger life, you want a bigger, experience in any area, start framing it. Start framing it. Amen. Well, I said it yesterday. It didn't come to pass yet. Well, I know when it comes to framing a house, because we're all in the negotiations now with the builder, that there's when you build a house, you have to build walls, the old style, the way stick frames. And you start with what's called a sill plate. And that's a horizontal piece that goes right along the foundation. So if you're framing up a house, you start with the very first one is that horizontal. You don't even start going up first. You just start that horizontal one. That's what happens when you say it once. You got the first part of the frame down. That's part of the frame. You're framing your world. But you can't see anything yet. It's not coming up yet. But just stick with it. Keep framing your world. Keep framing your world. Keep framing your world. Keep looking in God's blueprint for your life, this word of God, and say, aha. Aha. Yeah, I framed that. And then somebody said, how'd that come to pass? I got framed.